I just want to start from the outset to say that any decision we make today may change tomorrow. In order to have the best expert advice, we have commissioned...
Supercoach 360.
If the time's going up, it's recording.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, time for the show.
Oh, mate, 100%.
We need to find out why they think it's okay to say anything.
It's certainly one of the greatest challenges in the history of the game.
That's what they want to try and do.
Megastar to megastar!
In this regard, we're leaving every option on the table.
Excellent. Oh,
what was that, buddy?
That was something special.
You know what?
That's not talent.
Uh-oh.
Supercoach 360.
The best way to handle these things is to stay measured, stay calm, you know, live your life as normal.
Unless we start finding it off the people... who actually
just do it.
It makes their little ordinary life feel a little bit better for that moment.
Makes you
cool. Supercoach 360 podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, and welcome back. It's been a few weeks. A lot's happened in the last couple of weeks. It's only me and Louie tonight, so the other boys are busy doing other stuff. So me and Louie are here. We talk a bit of Supercoach and what to do with the tragedy of the week that's been. don't know about you, Louie, but I caught a few, but it hasn't crippled me as hard as others, if you know what I'm saying. I've seen some people that have copped a lot. As far as like even the rumoured ones.
Yeah.
And it's like you've got a big week ahead of you. You'd hope you've got A trades and B a boost. Otherwise it's a big week coming. But the last couple of weeks, just quickly, how you been going?
Did really well in the buy round.
Yeah.
Shot up, I think 7,000 places into 3,000th.
Oh, lovely.
And then last round, my lack of planning came out, and I ended up getting an 894, I think it was. Shot me down, shot me back.
Further down? Or
shot me back down to 11,000th.
Was that further? A little bit further? Or
it was a little bit further than where I was.
Oof,
yeah.
What a hit.
So,
what do you do? But, like, what can you do? That's A, Supercoach, and B, football. Like, injuries and stuff are bound to happen.
Probably should have looked at the buys.
You know what? I think you probably did look at the first lot of buys. Like you said, it was the week after with three buys. A lot of people lost half a team. Fewer littered with Manly, Para.
Well, that's the thing. That my fullbacks alone, I had Teddy and Gutho.
Yeah.
Completely forgot about that both of them had buys.
Yeah.
Then I had Dillbags and Schuster in my 5'8", and it wasn't the best.
Yeah, and then we've all copped Nath. I think just about anyone who's seriously super coaches has copped Nath or has copped something this week anyway. They've copped Bags or Nath. And so what to do? Like, it's a massive ask. Do you hold either? Bags would probably be more of a hold for me than a Nath, just because he's got caught in 3 weeks, which a lot can happen in 3 weeks.
And then what they're saying, Nath is about 6 weeks, isn't he?
Six or eight. I did ask, I haven't looked at the podcast yet, there's one on the hub, asked Brian Sini if there was a shot of him coming back early, but I don't know, I have to look and see. But for me, I don't think they're in a position where they have to rush him back. It'd be more from an Origin perspective, I think, that he'd be rushing back.
Well, I don't think they'll be rushing him back. I think Panthers, they'd want him fit proper 100% for the finals, for that back end of the season.
I've capitulated the last couple of weeks with my Supercoach.
How'd you go last week?
Look, I got 1,000 and something. Nothing great. But I did get 1,000 or something. Just trying to do the shares quickly. I got 1,000 something. Still drop places.
Still drop.
I haven't seen green in about 3 or 4 weeks. So yeah, it's a massive thing, but just quickly, what are you going to do with NAIF? Are you looking at holding, selling, trading?
Yeah, I'm still a bit iffy at the moment. The thing that's maybe convincing me to keep him there, just that one extra week to sort out other problems in my team. I was considering going dual bags to Walker, but then news came out today that he's actually limped off with training with a calf injury, so that's kind of thrown that spanner into the mix.
See, I'm not too sold on that either. Like I said to you just before off air, he's getting older, man. Like, if they were going to do some rigorous legwork with Trell out already and Campbell Graham carrying niggling injury, you sort of want him leg fresh, if you know what I'm saying. He's your running guy, so I wouldn't be surprised if Cookie even sort of took half a training day as well. Like, they're sort of the two blokes they're heavily relying on at the moment to get him through this period. And, yeah, it's not hard to walk off with a limp for the media's sake, you know. But you never know. It could be right. But like I did say, you're playing the Dragons, and no disrespect to the Dragons. For me, it wouldn't be a bad week to rest him unless he was hypothetically in contention for that Blue 6 jersey. But then he'd want to play to put his best foot forward to Freddie. But I don't know if he's in contention, you know.
I don't want any of the South boys to play. I mean, South, for some reason, we get heavy history. Our boys go to Origin, and they come back injured.
Yeah.
I remember Greg Inglis, Latrell, last game, went out for Origin camp.
Well, it's a massive, you know, yeah, what, it's a big game as well. Like, and
physical.
And we've seen from last week's injuries toll, bro, a couple of them probably could have done with the rest. Nath probably could have done with the week off. Wouldn't be in this position right now. Who else got hurt? I don't know.
Yeah, there's a growing injury list, isn't there?
You know, but yeah, if he got the week off, he would have been sweet. But yeah, I've got some replacements here. I know Brad touches on a couple as well in a video shortly, so we'll just do what we'll do. Then we'll hit them. We'll hit Brad's video and we'll go from there. So Moses, he's 760k, break even of 14, coming off the bye, which is fresh.
But you were saying before the pod, you mentioned that you think it's could be a bad play.
I wouldn't do it just because he's
why's that?
He's in the talks of Origin, man. He could ease it. Freddie loves him, bro, from the Lebanon days when he played Lebanon for Freddie. He's played Origin for Freddie in a losing series before.
Yeah.
So, and let's face it, Mitch Moses is pretty good footballer, man.
Yeah.
Him and Nico, different, but Moses, very good organiser, and he's got a great kicking game, much like Naif.
I'd probably say he has a better kicking game than Nico, to be honest, I think.
But it's pinpoint. His kicking game is very... gotten a lot better over the last couple of years. He's got older. He's just got better and better. Look, if he wasn't in contention for Origin, I'd say jump on this week. Don't have the bye until 18. Then they're in play both of the small weeks in 16 and 19. So he's a good option. But if he gets Origin, you're missing out. And if he puts his best foot forward in Queensland, you have to assume he's there for game 3 too. So and then there's SJ. He's 642,000, got 127 last week, break even of 36, averaging 70.8 for the year.
He's been looking good. He's been looking good.
Don't know if they play the major bye round, though. I think they missed one of them. I definitely missed 16, I know that. But, yeah, he's got a three-round average, same as Mitch Moses, both got the same at 80.7. Then there's Brooksy. Definitely won't get picked for Origin. coming along, the Tigers are coming along, man. For me, I wouldn't go that way. I'd probably go the other way and wake him if I'm going to chance someone from the Tigers' halves. But Brooksy's running a three-round average of 65. He's finally got there. but he's averaging a year 58, so it's not too bad anyway. Like, there's worse out there than Brooksy.
So just to touch back on Sean Johnson, doesn't play round 16.
No. 19, but then...
Yeah, 15, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, and 22 is the next buy.
Yeah, so yeah, he's in for at least until Nath gets back if he doesn't go on a downward spiral. Then you got Luke Keary. Not that I'm sold on Luke Keary, but the Roosters surely have to get better, and if they get better, it's off the back of a Luke Keary. He's 564,000. He's got a break even of 35, but... averaging 54, but got a three-round average of 65, which he has started to look a bit better in the likes of with Teddy and that. But, yeah, and then I looked at Fogarty from...
the Raiders.
The Raiders.
Yeah.
Been going all right. Like, I know he posted a big score last week, but he's been going okay. He's 591,000, so he's sort of kicking along. If you're already that price, you're sort of doing okay. He's got a break even of 46. He's been averaging 57, but he's got a three-round average of 68. He's not at the caliber of Mitch Moses and SJ. I'll say that now, but if you're looking for that pod sort of guy, he's definitely fucking pod territory.
I'm looking at him now. 1% of teams, 1,200 teams have him.
He's very, very pod. Canberra only lose Hudson Young to Origin. So basically his whole team's there with him throughout the period anyway. Yeah, and then there's the next guy is Hughes, who he's been talked up everywhere. That I've seen, because every time Munster's out, he gets big scores. Well, not so much big scores, but decent scores.
I think Brado touches on this as well in his video.
Yeah. So Hughes for me, he's the cheapest of the bunch, other than if you go Superpod Brendan Wakeham. I am looking at Superpod Brendan Wakeham.
You're thinking about it?
Just because it's fucking ballsy, man. Like, you know what? In saying that, I'll get it is another talking point for later. Everything I've done the last month, like me pod plays through Origin, all did shit. And everyone that I brought in for the period on the hopes that they even would just stay green has lost money.
Right.
So I don't know, do I just hold on or you know what I mean? It's time to move them on, but where do I go? You know, I've got to look at where to go and possibly going down to a Brendan Wakeham, who's a jewel. It's a possibility for me at the moment. But I do worry, Nath comes back. He's got 120-something the week before last, didn't he? That'll be in his rolling average. So he's not going to lose enough cash for you to think, oh, I've got to jump off Nath because he's going to lose bulk cash, because he's going to come back, play that week, and probably still see green. You know, he's not going to lose 100K. Yeah. You know, so it's not like you can come back, hold the faith that he's going to lose a chunk of money and you'd be able to bring him back. He's got 120 there and he got
He can just as easily put it on.
It's crazy what he can do. But, yeah, so that's the worry of Brendan Wakeham. He does have a minus BE at the moment of 19 or 20-something, but his average is 50.9 for the season, but his last three-game average is 65.5. So I'm am looking at him a little bit, you know. I wouldn't tell anyone else to rush out and get him. He's just a pod that I'm looking at that has been going okay. And I've watched him a little bit the last couple of weeks, and he seems to be in it. He's only a little fella though. I mean, waiting for him to get hurt.
Well, he's You got 119 against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Me personally, I wouldn't take that score with a grain of salt. I mean, that was really a pathetic performance by the Cowboys, was, really. And then that was in a side, in a game where a lot of Tigers players turned up easily. Week before, played South, scored 19.
Yeah, but South is a different side. And if you have a look at the sides they've got coming up, and this is the only reason I did look at him, is because this week they've got a David Fifita-less Titans, which the Titans can go anyway on their week. They can.
Well, I mean, you saw against the South game last week, up 22-6, I think, at one point in the first half. Ended up getting, blocked by 20 points.
Yeah, they just put the cue in the rack. I think there's a stat on them. They haven't scored over 26 points all season or something.
I think it was the fifth game this year where they scored 22 points or more in the first half and have ended up losing the game. Yeah. Something ridiculous like that.
It's crazy. And then they have an originless Melbourne, who Melbourne hasn't been chugging along Melbourne-like anyway.
Haven't been quite hitting that mark, have they?
And then they got the Cows the week after that again.
Mm.
And that's when I'd probably aim to get rid of him, the week after the Cows. I wouldn't right. be, he wouldn't be a trade-in forever sort of guy for me.
Even if Nath is still out, obviously, well, he's still going to be out, would you then go to trade Nath back in just in case later down the track?
It'd depend issues on the trade situation.
Mm.
Like at the moment, pre-trades, I think I'm on 16 or 17. If I decide to trade down to 14 or 13 or whatever, I boost as well. It's going to come down to trades. It's going to come down to what you can do for the rest of the year. Like, if you do punt Nath now and you're down, like I've seen people down to as low as like 13 trades already, then what are you going to do when it's time to get him back? Are you going to have trades left? Are you going to have options? Maybe not. Like, this is why I'm sitting Defy.
Mm.
I feel like my second row is pretty well, like, it's okay at the moment. I'll quickly just grab it. But my second row, as far as off the top of my head, it's Bateman.
Yep.
Hopgood. Eli Katoa. Like, Defy. And Tohu Harris.
That's pretty good, yeah.
So, like, I can honestly sit there and say, well, do I have to trade Defy for a second row? No. No, I don't. Like, I maybe could juice up my front row, especially now Jack DeBellin's hurt. Like, I could easily move Tohu up there or whatever, but he's another one. Jack DeBellin's only going to have the 11 days, so I'll hang on to Jack.
Yeah.
I see him as sort of a decent front row partner to Huss for the rest of the year. Also got Edwards, who got his starting spot back this week.
Mm-hmm.
He got his points sort of in. They were interfered with last week because he was stuck playing hooker. He wasn't taking them carries and doing the stuff he's been doing the last couple of weeks due to having no Reed Marnie. So I'm still going to play Edwards. I feel he's got good base and.
Well, each time he started on that edge, you know, he's done well.
Yeah, he's decent. I don't see that I need to sell David Feeder. Some people will need to sell David Feeder, but you know, and it's a matter of do you sell Nath for a cheapie and then you can do whatever you want.
Free up the cash.
You know, or do you hold Nath for another week? If you've got bags, you're going to have to do something about the bag situation, especially if Cody Walker's your other one and he is hurt. It's a massive thing. Maybe we'll go to Brado.
Yeah.
Because he touches on all this too, so after that we'll come.
Evening, everybody, and g'day. I hope everybody is well in there at the 360 headquarters. Hope everyone's got great Supercoach scores, a few green arrows. I tell you what, it's been a hard time. What an absolute clusterfuck of a time. I'll swear, there you go. It's been a hard time recently for all super coaches everywhere, and some people have got some good scores, but some of that's been a bit due to luck, and some of it's just been the way the cards have fallen, I'm afraid, because other people, of course, have copped a real pizzling of a time. And even some of those people are some great super coaches. So don't be too worried or downhearted about how you're going at the moment, because it's only just over halfway and there's still plenty of time. I mean, it's been a... I know people that have moved about 10,000 places in 2 weeks at the moment, how close the competition is, particularly in around about the 1% to the 10% mark of coaches. And, of course, you've got head-to-head, which you've got a lot to play for. I love my head-to-head. So this week we've got there's a lot of interest around. There's a lot of crazy things happening. I guess the news that David Fifita out means that a lot of people, including myself, will be selling David Fifita. At the value he is, it's only going to plummet massively. And even when he comes back from Origin, he'll probably only bloody play another 10 or 30 minutes or something crazy like that and give us all the shits again. So I might as well sell him, and I will be getting him back at some point. I do like Hopgood there, so I'm not even going to show you any other options. I think Hopgood or Nakora for the money, just do it. They both play round 16 and will serve you great going into the next few weeks. Let's just hope Hopgood doesn't get selected for Origin. He probably should be, because he is that good. Now, the first one I want to talk about is we've got a conundrum at 5'8". There are some obvious choices. The move to Cody Walker, from Brown to Cody Walker, isn't going to cost you that much. People like myself, and there's a massive amount of people that are in this same boat, have Brown paired up with Katoa. My plan was to get rid of Katoa this week, but it's just not going to happen now because, we've got to move on Brown instead. There are some obvious choices. Like I said, Cody Walker is probably number one obvious choice. But the one I want to talk about is probably not so obvious, and that is Caelan Ponga. Let's have a quick look at him. All right, there he is. Now, Caelan, as we can see there, he's only 579, so you've nearly got about 100... about 140,000, I think, difference between him and Brown. So you're going to net a bit of cash there. 579 for quality 5'8 is pretty cheap. A BE at the moment of only 55, as we can see. They've got a projected score of 57, but I think they're a bit light on there. But we know it's all mathematical, and that's why. Let's have a look at some of his scores here. Let's have a look at that. His last three scores, 114 there. 50, which is when he went off with a head knock in that game up at Coffs Harbour. He had a HIA issue, which affected his score, and then he bounced back the next game with a 77. I don't think there's much more I have to say. I know that there's a lot of talk about him being a bit of a problem because he's because of his head knock issues, and that he... it's just a gamble. As we've seen all year, you got to take these gambles. And in my reckoning, for value for money, as I'm getting ready to try and get Munster a bit later after Origin, but for the meantime, I'm thinking that Caelan, for my liking, is a different option, certainly a pod, and one who does score rather well, as long as he doesn't get a head knock and he stays on the field. The other one I want to have a look at is this fella. Now, we all have a bit of a problem with Nathan Cleary, or those that have kept him. I've got Cleary and Hines paired together. So this isn't too bad, because I can play Hines this week and I don't necessarily have to move on Cleary. And I can wait till next week to decide between Moses and possibly this fella. And you've also got Burton in the mix as well. But, of course, we all don't know about Origin selections. It's been rumoured that Moses might be a strong possibility. Jerome Hughes. Now, if Cleary's only out for around 4 weeks, 4 to 5 weeks, Jerome Hughes could be a very, very nice option in the meantime. He's only going to fill a place for you until you can get Cleary back again. And I think that's probably how you need to look at this selection of the halfback that's going to take Cleary's place for you. You just want them to fill that place, not lose value, which is important. And let's have a look at him. Jerome Hughes, here he is. A BE of 68, which is more than achievable. So right now is probably the time to buy him. 554, so going Cleary to him. It's going to get you a nice bit of cash. But you've got to make sure you bank that cash. Don't necessarily spend it like crazy. And if we have a look at some of his scores, look, there's nothing really to write home about. As you can see there, his last three, 77, 63, 43. That 33 was injury affected there. He did spend a bit of time off the field. They're not the worst scores in the world. And at that level and that average, he still maintained his value, and he's not going to drop you any value. And occasionally, and this is where this is a big one, he can put up a big one. Now, last year, when Munster wasn't playing, during the Origin period, he put up 117, and I think he put up a 77 or something like that. And they were the games that Munster was absent for. During rounds 2 and 3 of this year, Munster was out. Let's have a look. Round 2 there, he's got 90 and a 68 in round 3. There's a little bit of evidence there to suggest that Jerome Hughes without Munster is one that will score above his average and hopefully will not just maintain the cash that he's at, but might even increase a little bit until you can get Cleary back again. Well, I'll just get rid of that and then I'm back again. All right, so that's about it for this week, boys. What do you think there? There's a couple of left field selections for you to think about. Jerome Hughes at halfback, Kalen Ponga at 5'8". Both of those players aren't appearing in the most traded in players at the moment. That sort of honour belongs to the likes of Mitchell Moses. I highly, highly suggest you do not do this. If the rumours are true and he's selected for Origin, then you've got him in for 1 week and 1 week only. And I don't see a value in doing that. If you want Mitchell Moses, and I sort of do, then next week is the week that you should be trading him. Hold Cleary for 1 week. Use your other halfback and go down that direction. The Cody Walker one, he's reasonably popular at the moment too. I can fully understand. And Manu, of course, is the other one. It's nearly about the same price as Kalen Ponga. The problem is that Manu is not scoring anything like the 77s, etc., or the 70-odds that Kalen Ponga has been putting up over the last few weeks. Manu's scoring has been way down. So, again, it points in, might be a nice different option to go in at 5'8". All right, that's it for me this week. And until next week or until the next time I'm on, I hope you boys are all going well. Louis, you need to find another team to follow. Yeah, the Rabbits, mate. That just sucks. You got to get another team, mate. Juzzy, I hope you're still getting good scores there. You busted out a massive one a couple of weeks ago. I hope that you're still climbing and getting some green arrows. Bergsy, oh, the Bulldogs, mate, what are we going to do there for you? There's nothing I can really say. They sort of seem to go good 1 minute, but I don't think they'll get the wooden spoon. So keep in there, you'll get a few more wins yet. All right, until next week, everybody have fun super coaching.
I'm sure Juzzy does give a shout out back, and yes, he is still going well.
The grub.
No, go Juzzy. Good on you, bud. You're representing in the Podmasters, so at least you're doing well for all of us. But just touching on what Brado was talking about, the good feelings for the week. I think he's favoured Ponga and Hughes as the 6 and 7. He'd do what I said as well by holding Moses out for a week. Just have a look. But yeah, for you, you see Ponga and Hughes as the guys. Like I don't mind Ponga. He's really been shining.
Yeah, I was actually Ponga was one of the players I was looking at trading. I've got dual bags in my squad, so I'm probably gonna go to Ponga from dual bags. That'd probably be one of my trades, definitely.
Well, you said in the live there, Footy said the bags probably could be seized.
Yeah, Shane Foote. Yeah, Bags could be out till his court case is completed, which, you know, yeah, it could be all season. If it's pushed back another few weeks and pushed back another few weeks, I mean, how long do you have him sitting there going, oh, well, maybe this week?
Just from an outsider looking in, like, and I don't dive into it because it's fucking his personal issues or whatever, but the thing that, like, they're all saying, oh, the cameras don't do this, the cameras don't do that, but there's the girl saying it, and there's a security guard saying it. So that's two words against one straight away off the bat for him. So that's why I think the NRL is sort of like, you're not playing this week, champ. Got to sort this out because there's probably a bit more evidence than where everyone's going, oh, he's hard done by. But once you're in, look, they take the chance every time they go out. We're in a world where people want to grab people, you know, and it doesn't matter if he's doing the grabbing or she's doing the grabbing, but it's just the way the world fucking is today. And if I suggest, if you're a high profile person, stay fucking home. Like, just for a bit, you know. Like, I know everyone's got a right to personal life, but still, like, here we are, mid season, more bullshit with footy. Like, footy cops it all the time. Like,
I mean,
you don't see much coming out of other codes.
These players know that they're going to be a target. Anyone around that has a camera is going to be snapping every little thing that they do.
Yeah.
They should be aware of that. Yeah,
yeah, it's fucking crazy. Yeah. But yeah, for replacements for Bags, we'll dive into replacements for Bags a bit. Cody Walker now. Cody Walker's come to light. He's 50-50 playing this week. If I was Dragons coach personally, I'd probably rest him, but I'm not a Dragons coach, so who knows what they're going to do, but he's 318,000. I feel you probably have to jump on if you're going to jump on. He's the form half of the comp.
813,000, you mean?
Yeah.
318,000. Oh, wish it was 318,000. That'd be great.
My bad. 813,000. My bad. He's got a BE of 87. But he's also got an average of 76, so he's chugging along, and with no Trell there, he does do a little bit more of the running, you know. So then you got Burton, but he's talked about for Origin, 677,000, break even to 53. The thing with the five aces, they all have very high BEs. Not like up there in the halves. The halves all had sort of achievable BEs of 30s and 40s. Whereas these all seem to be a bit higher. Munster's got a 686, but we'll play Origin. Look very sluggish after Origin too. Him and Harry Grant just didn't look crisp and fresh.
Would you hold off until after Origin period?
Oh yeah, definitely. On Munster I would. Definitely, only because there's a couple others that, like Brad talked about, Ponga. I'm liking Nick Arima. And I'm a Joey Manu owner, so I'm hoping he comes good. But, yeah, so then the other ones are Joey Manu. His BE's 116. Like, so these two guys, I'd be waiting and watching
on. Yeah, definitely. I had a brief look at Manu, but, yeah, that break even, as soon as I saw that, I thought, no, I'm just going to hold off.
Well, he's 604,000. He's not, it's not like he's Cody Walker money, but 604,000 can easily get to 500,000 pretty quick. But, yeah, break even of 116, averaging 55, but that comes off his games at centre and shit too. Since moving to 5/8, has done a little better bar last week, which if I'm being honest, I watched him. He looked like he was sort of trying to get away from the ball, like his ankle's probably not as right as it needs to be for him to run the ball, you know? So, I captain him. And then Cody Nikorima. Been going pretty good. Hate to say it, but he's really been chugging along good since the move. But now that Hammer's back, I sort of would like to watch and see how he goes back in the halves.
Mm.
He's 579,000, break even is 63, but he's averaging 49. So, but if you have a look, I think his three round average is like 80 or something because he's been playing fullback and doing pretty good.
Yeah, well, he scored a at fullback. He scored a 73 against New Zealand last week,
yeah.
And then 46 against St. George. Yeah. But even in the halves, like he scored a 97 against Melbourne.
Was that the week he played hooker? But he played fielding for Jeremy Marshall King too, and posted possibly a very good score too.
Possibly. Played against Sharks as well in the halves. Scored a 75. Week before that, 68 against Canberra. So it's yeah, something
he's
good to look
better
at.
As he goes
I've had him in yeah. for the past, I think, four or five weeks. Yeah, he's done me pretty good.
Yeah. And then the Pong Dog rules himself out of Origin. Good for Newcastle. Really looked the part. The other, well, I think they had the bye last week. Or no, he done okay last week, didn't he, Pong?
Last week he... No, they had the bye last week. Yeah.
They had the
yeah.
bye. But the week before that he done well.
Yeah, 77 against Manly.
For 579,000 coming down from bags, you can sort of strengthen up. He does have a break even of 55, but he's averaging 55 as well. So, and that's from them games where he did shit as well. Mm. So he's one to really, really look at strongly. He got his big boy score last year of 160 something too. So he's really, he's there. Well, you know, he's amongst it.
His highest score so far this round, this season is 114. And even then, you know, he has the potential to go high, as you said. Definitely.
Yeah, he's very talented footballer. And then me pod play there would be Brimo. Scary part is he's coming back off another injury. Let's face it, he seems to be out quite a bit from injury. But Brimston has done me proud a few times. I podded him a few years back at fullback, and he turned up a couple of games in a row for me, and he's got a low floor compared to a lot of other fullbacks, but 5'8", you could sort of have a look, you know, because if Bags is hurt and Walker's hurt, then all the other fullbacks are sort of doing what Brimo's doing.
Wait, he's been named in the halves, is he, or?
I think he's named a fullback.
Named a fullback.
They dropped that other kid, the young fella. But yeah, so I'm sort of liking Brimo, but don't know about the bye schedule for them. I haven't really looked deep into it. I think they only have one more.
Yeah, round 16. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, and that's it. So could be one to pick up if you've got the numbers already for 16. He could be a semi-good pod in 5'8". I wouldn't put him at fullback, not with the way Teddy.
Oh, there's better options out there.
Turbo's coming good and stuff like that, so I wouldn't go there, but... Oh, mate. Definitely have a look.
Would you have him as your main, or you reckon a backup 5'8"?
Oh, well, I've got Munster as my main. I won't sell Munster. I don't care about his BE being a 138 just because I've rode him all year.
Yeah.
Same as me D-Fees, me Harry Grant. So someone's writing before, oh, they've all got these high BEs. Is it time to cash out? The time to do that was up to round 10.
Mm.
Now I feel this is your run home. Like, yeah, you got a 30 or whatever this week. We know the potential is there. I won't sell Harry Grant, bar injury. I wouldn't sell Payne Ass, bar injury. Won't be selling David Fafita, even though he doesn't really play any more football till round 21, which is a bit of a shit thing. But like I said, I've got pretty good.
You're in a good position with your second row.
Stack of second row, so unless I really need his money, I'll just sit him there. He's not going to lose me nothing unless he plays. And if he does play next week, you could easily smash it.
Yeah.
Know, or play 18 or whenever that, I think it's 18 is the next time they have a game that's not after a bye or whatever. But, and then there's others I won't sell. Probably now I can't sell Nico. Last week that was on the cards for me. And I think anyone that had the combo of Nafe Nico with both playing Origin, I think if you look at the thing, the Sharks don't have a really good draw for the next. Like, they got a decent playing draw, but for Nico going away for Origin and coming back and stuff, it's not really good for him.
Yeah, well, especially now with Cleary going out, that, you know, the chance of him backing up is...
Well, not even that. I just think the amount of games he was going to play from here to there was half of what Naif was meant to play, if you know what I mean. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm sort of glad I didn't punt him last week. At the moment, I'm not going to sell Naif this week.
Going to hold off?
Either. I'll hold off. I just want to know a bit more. Where do I go? If I was going to go anywhere, I'd want to go to Mitch Moses. I know Rickster said SJ, and I love SJ. I really do. But ideally, it'd be Moses if I could go anywhere, and that's a wait and see if he makes Origin. For me, I don't want to bring him in and then lose him to Origin. It's just a waste because I'd have to trade him back out to get a player.
Yeah.
For that round, so yeah. All right, we're going. Well, the injuries for last week were Naif, Gilbert, Arrow. Gilbert injury, that's opened up, I think, for Ray Stone. Ray Stone, you can get a hooker, so if you're sort of stuck with your Sonny Luke or your Sullivans or whatever that was sort of just dudding along in there, I think you can easily now transition to a Ray Stone.
Going to get increased minutes. Yeah.
He'll be a decent 55 man, I think, from just judging on what he gets when he gets the decent minutes, you know? He'll easily get the 55 for you, which isn't bad, especially for a week when you're short on numbers or whatever. Yeah, you'd love to plug a hole for a bloke who's definitely getting you 55, you know? Yeah. And at 300 and something K, I think it's a jump on, especially with Gilbert gone for the season. Now, Arrow did a syndesmosis. That can be up to 8 weeks, I think.
Yeah, I think they're saying about 8 weeks.
Who's that benefit for you? Is that Sele? Because he's really come good. I like watching him. I think it was 2 months ago someone asked us about Sele, and we all said, oh, he's a 40 man, and he's fucking chugged along all right. Sele, I've been sort of watching him. Yeah, I don't know if it's translated supercoach-wise, but looks good on the field. Sele?
Supercoach-wise, he's, my computer's a bit slow. Chugging around, averaging 40.
That's exactly what we
said. 42.8 he's averaging. Just chugging along. He does have a break-even of 16 this week.
I wouldn't be jumping on. I just remember us talking about him, and I thought, let's have a look. But I don't know who benefits the most. Kalolo Matangi coming back's probably a blessing because that's where Arrow went anyway, in a Kalolo Matangi spot. So that was probably a blessing in disguise for the coach and staff because they got to plug the hole with the original starting bloke anyway. Then Parker now, he's relevant to Supercoach, but Ruben Garrick fills his hole.
That's a big loss.
Now, that is fucking shit. Like, that is poo for anyone who owns Garrick. Anyone remembers why I got to pick Garrick up after his last run at centre? He got down to 540K after being 800K from being on the wing and stuff. So is it time to sell Garrick if you've got enough trades? Fucking I'd think about it. I'd have to have more than 20, but I know there's people out there with that.
Yeah,
I'd have to have a lot more.
I think you do it if your team's in a position that's... most people are going to be affected by Cleary or dual bags, or a lot of people will be thinking about trading out Defi. It all depends on your position of your team.
You know in 4 to 6 weeks he's going back.
Yeah.
With Turbo, off an Origin, Cherry off probably Origin, you know what I mean? Like... I'm not going to say a win, but Queensland definitely better.
I'm sure over this period that he's in the centres, a lot of us owners are hoping he does a Stephen Crichton and just not pass the ball out to the winger.
You can only hope so. Like, you know what? We don't know. We don't know at all. Maybe Ruben Garrick wants to play centre. Like, maybe that's an aspiration he has. And, you know, we'll never know because we're not a part of it, but which, if you jump off now, it could be a master stroke in disguise. I don't know, but it does worry me, Ruben Garrett going back to centre for at least 4 to 6 weeks, you know?
Well, if you do, if you are thinking about jumping off, who would you go to? That's the thing. Who would you go to right now?
Well, I've got Marju.
Mm.
I like Marju. He showed the other week, him and KP.
Yeah.
Showed the other week. It's, that left side's very lethal. Bradman Best even chiming in on it too. Like, it's very...
He's actually scored well lately, Bradman Best, hasn't he? He's,
he has, man.
He's chiming along nicely.
That left side's just been... They've sort of been cutting out poor Fitzy since he got a mention the other week, but the centre and winger have been doing pretty good. So, Marju's one I'd be thinking about. Mm-hmm. The other one, I know a few weeks ago everyone was sort of off Nick Meaney, but I don't know why Nick Meaney sort of chugged along really good all year.
The whole season he's been chugging along. He's I know, I saw a report as well that came out today saying that Pappenhuisen is going to be back. And apparently he commented back saying... No.
Not for ages. No.
Not happening.
Not even close, yeah. So that's good. Like, that's a Nick Meaney for the season.
Mm.
You know, you can easily have him as your fifth by the end.
Again, goal kicking as well. On, I mean, you know.
And play him on matchups. Mm. Like, I think he's got a low BE, so it's probably time to jump on if that's what you're going to do. And then we got Murray, your boy. Groin injury.
Yeah, injuries like this occur, seems like, pretty often after players back up after Origin. It's definitely not the first time I've heard of that happening. I think the problem with groin injuries is they're niggly. They sit there and it takes a while to heal, and you can still kind of feel it whenever you run. Yeah, I mean...
Yeah,
it's a tough little injury.
You can sort of always feel.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, I don't know. They do take a couple of weeks to come back from. I don't think it's a 1 week thing.
No.
So that affects your whole side.
Mm.
And then Trell's out as well.
Yeah.
Which is another thing. And does he even come back prior to playing Origin, or does he just go straight to Origin? You know. Who knows? Seen it 100 times. Players miss the bulk of the Origin period for their clubs, even though they're their marquee million-dollar signings. They're just either hurt from prior or during Origin.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you see it so often. But the product has to be played this time of year because you can't play it any time else. No one's seasoned for it at the start of the year, and no one's guaranteed into the top eight to play finals. So there's always that linger where there's going to be people not playing and training for footy. So you don't get the best quality at the end, and the middle of the year is the best time.
Yeah.
I think. Then Jack DeBellin got knocked out.
Yeah, that looked bad. Did you see it live?
He
was out.
He was sleeping, dude. 11 days, definitely. Mm. I don't know if there's going to be a bigger... sit down for him, like, from imposed by the club, but he's definitely 100% got 11 days.
That was a heavy concussion. Heavy. He was out before he even hit the ground. He was gone.
He hit straight.
Straight away, his whole body just went limp. Yeah.
And then Reid Marnie is the other one who's... I know he's been named for us, but as far as I know, he... Fucking 11 days as well, bro. He wore Suwali's knee to the chin. Suwali got weeks for
He's been slapped with 3 weeks. It's not the first time Suwali has done this either. He's done it a couple times before.
You'll find a lot of people get these breaches for their running technique, especially early on. Like, it takes a while to get ready for it. He lifts a bit too high, but...
Well, I think I saw Matt Lodge came out, I think, today and defended him, saying, oh, he's just a bit of an athlete. That's just his running style. He brings his legs up higher. But if you watch him, he does lift it just that little bit higher than he normally does as soon as he goes into that tackle. I mean, he's bracing. Yeah, I mean, yeah. You could
the same sort of brace, which puts you.
You can understand, you know, like your normal players bracing into a tackle, but lifting the knee. I mean, you're asking to knock someone out, really.
Yeah,
you're asking for it.
Like it can hurt someone.
Oh yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, really, well, realistically, mate, there's a. You could break someone's jaw, fracture someone's skull if you do it hard enough.
When we played for Hebo, like, years ago, that's how I lost all my front teeth.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We played against Doonside. His bloke lifted his knee and just smashed the fuck out of me. Like, it, you know what? It's one of them things. But that's footy, man. You know? I'll do the questions, yep. And then we'll talk a bit of Origin because we didn't catch up last week. We'll just talk a bit of footy. We've pretty much finished the Supercoach chat. Anyone who wants to bail on that can bail, and we'll talk a bit of footy. Have we got anything on the live as well while I'm going through?
Yeah, we've got a few here. Let's have a look. Shane Foot, how are you, mate?
Footy.
Vowsy, how are you? Vowsy. Adam Thomas, got Walker and Dill bags. Walker under cloud and bags gone at least 3 weeks. He's going to wait and see if Walker plays. If not, he will sell bags, move to Ponga, and then bring in a fullback, or move to Ruva to fullback, and bring in Manu, who he thinks is about to step up. What do you reckon?
We'd want to hope so, otherwise you're going to lose 50k at least on that first week of owning Joey.
Mm.
That's the thing of having 100 break.
And I think the...
Buller.
Yeah.
Let me just say that now. Like, I've fucking missed the boat on Buller. Looks great out there. Tigers are firing. If you already got a few Tigers, I wouldn't go near him. But if you're looking for a guy who's going to at least make a little bit more money and put out some decent scores, his effort, without the try last week, he was still chugging along at 60.
Yeah.
You know.
And look, this week they've got a Titans team that can leak points. Yeah. And a lot of points that come Tiger's way seem to go, he's in there somewhere, you know.
Yeah, I think if you're going to go that way, I don't worry about Joey Manu this week. Hold off on Joey. Even if he does get his 100, he's not going to go up. So you should still have the money to do it next week. But, yeah, this week I'd be looking at Buller at 400 or 500K.
532?
And seems to be just on the up. If not, could be your pod keeper. Like,
potentially, yeah.
You know, he's been putting out some decent scores, man. I'm liking what he's doing anyway.
Yeah, well, he's got, where is he at right now? 570 right now he's at.
He's at 400 something last week.
Yeah, so. 570, break even of minus 56 with a projected score of 80 will bank 116K.
There you go, man. That's automatic banking money.
And you're at this period of the season where a lot of people have already tried to make their cash and now focusing long term. A short little cash grab like him to chuck in won't do you too badly.
He's pretty juicy, considering I'm probably going to lose that with Guffo at 100 grand over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But I'll still hang on to Guffo. I'll be honest, I'm not looking that way at the moment, but. Buller's a good one if you're looking that way.
Mm.
I'd wait a week on Joey Manu. I think they got a tough matchup, even though they haven't got Penrith Nath. They've still got their forwards and their defensive structure.
Yeah.
So they're not going to leak 50 points.
And look, you know, Manu does, if he does well, he might get up to 80, 90 with a few assists. Yeah. Still going to lose a little bit of cash.
Yeah, still going. Yeah, that's it. Get him a discount next week.
Break even's going to be lower. A lot better.
And I think Buller next week, he'll be fucking, what, up another 100K, you said? So 680K.
And after that, they've got Melbourne, North Queensland, Sharks, Newcastle.
Yeah, but the Melbourne, their plans Origin depleted. And the Cows could be Origin depleted if they give rest as well. So
could be definitely some cash to make there. Definitely.
Half talking myself into it. I got one quickly from Watto. G'day, legends. With the carnage happening and Origin 2 approaching, what do we think about Cleary replacements, Moses, SJ or Birdo? And if Dill Bags has stood down, see Walker or Munster? Should we just wait a week on trades, seeing who knows what the hell the Blues halves and utilities will be?
Well, I mean, I think we've touched on this a couple of times throughout just this pod, you know. Probably Burton. I'd avoid Burton, to be completely honest. He's just that level low. Cody Walker again,
Munster's no good, yeah.
During the Origin period, he's just,
SJ's the only one who's a clear standout that gives you decent coverage across the next month of footy.
Not Origin affected at all.
Nah, not their team doesn't get touched by Origin. I don't think the Warriors haven't had a Origin player since Taylor Hoffman or something. It's
been a while.
I don't mind SJ. Moses, if you can afford to wait the week, but what OA? Moses is definitely chugging along nice, but he will be dearer next week.
Well, that's one thing I was actually just about to mention. You know, he's got a break even of 14, I think, this round.
Yeah, he does.
If he scores well.
Against the Dogs. It's against the Dogs.
Hard decision.
Either way game.
Yeah.
I'll be there with Reg.
He's at 760 right now. He's priced 760 with a projected score of 94. They're projecting you to go up 68k.
So he'll be 850 grand next year.
Yeah.
Next week, I mean.
Which by then, you're not really making a lot of money off that trade.
No, you'd be chasing his points, I think, for the period, just to keep in contention for points, which for 120k less, you can get on the SJ, you know, sort of doing the same thing.
Mm.
Or you can take the pod, gamble and go Hughes, who does do well. But in saying that, you got to be ready to trade him back out.
That's, I think, the problem with Hughes. If when Munster goes well,
Hughes does nothing. And now that Bags is gone, it's probably a bit of a good thing for Moses and Guffo too.
Yeah.
Because whenever someone seems to get injured, them other two seem to pick up the slack. So with Bags going down, Moses and Guffo could see some good points over the next month anyway of footy. Yes. You got any more on the live there?
Sure do. Let's have a look. Oh, it started to reload. Jared Watson. How are you, Watto? Same as you, Bergs. He failed pod plays of Tomoko and Katoa has killed him.
I went the pod play of Moses fucking Sully. I do it to myself all the time. But because I talked about him on the pod, I thought I can't renege now. I sort of got to go a bit like
Captain Ingmanu last round.
That's what happened to me. I put it on Facebook. I thought, fuck, now I got to sort of do that. Should have went to Teddy. Once I seen Brendan Savage, fuck you, Saps, go Teddy, I thought, fuck, I'm going Teddy. And then I thought, fuck, I've already put it on Facebook. Can't be like that. Spewing. Should have done it. It happens. That's super coaching, man. But yeah, Moses Sully was the teeth puller in my team. And Jack DeBellin's failed me a bit since I brought him in as well. Both Dragons. But both were going, they were both me sort of me pod plays for the round of 13.
Right.
And yeah, both Jack DeBellin got sent off. He captained that round, got sent off. And Moses Sully just, you know what, when he gets the ball, he does good shit. Like, But they just don't get him any good quality ball. Every time he runs the ball, breaks tackles, has an offload. And like, he basically had four runs the other night, or five runs for his 49.
I think
you give him 10 runs, he's fucking
I think like, he's kind of similar to what Defi was last season, where there was a lot of time where he just was not getting a good ball. They were getting it out to him so late, by then they had two or three players standing there ready to tackle him. Can't really do much then, you know. You give him good ball, as you've seen this season, open space.
When Zach Lomax was out too, he was getting better ball because he was the marquee centre, I guess, the way they were looking at it. But since Zach Lomax come back, they do sort of set up a bit more for Zach Lomax.
Yeah.
The ball bounces for Zach Lomax, but...
I mean, he scored a try on the weekend. Great leap into the air. That was a pretty good try. I've got an interesting question here, actually.
Yep.
Shane Foote. Where are we? There we are. Shane Foote. Cogger as a super pod. Owned by 210 teams. Not even 1%. Cogger as a super pod. Priced at 238. What do you think?
I'm gonna say this to you. Sean O'Sullivan last year would have been probably the same. But I don't think Jack Cogger's Sean O'Sullivan type player. Mm. He'll still, don't get me wrong, he'll make you money, but I don't think you'd play him on any stretch of your imagination. If you bought him, you'd be buying him at a risk. And
that's,
but he will, in saying that, over the month that Cleary or 6 weeks that Cleary's out, won't lose you no money if you don't spend your Cleary money, and will still bank your points if that's what you have to do. But I just don't see him being worth it.
I'd rather go someone like SJ, you know, or Moses, who you know is going to get you the points. Won't bag you anywhere near as much cash as doing that trade down to Cogger will. Cogger at two, I think 238 he's priced. But you've got almost a point guarantee. Points guarantee with those other two.
That's the thing. I think you got it, especially this time of year. You should be half set. Your team, you should be looking at your team thinking, oh, I maybe need one more here, two more there. You shouldn't be needing fucking nine players.
If it was earlier in the season, if it was, you know, around four or five, maybe I might take the risk.
Even eight or nine. Like, you could, because you still would have had 20, 25 trades.
Bank a bit of cash,
you know, but now we're at a point where some people, like I'm at 16, people are way lower than me at 13 and stuff. Some people got no boosts. We're at a point now where you really got to start thinking about where you really need to spend your money. Like, is this guy going to make you 300 grand, which in turn is probably worth it? Like, you bank your 300 and upgrade two places when you bring your knife back, you know? But if it all goes sideways and you get nothing, then it's cost you two trades for no money.
You've lost
and fuck all points.
Watto, if I was jumping off Garrick, I'd get an Asako.
Oh, you're fucking
He's been one that's just, everyone's like, oh no, it's Asako. Yet, week in, week out, he's just scoring points for fun.
He's fucking, and you know what? Doesn't look shit.
No.
Looks good doing it. Like, he looks interested.
Goal kicking as well. I mean.
Didn't look interested at the Broncos while there.
It's just working.
As much as I've said no the first half of the season, I'm saying fucking yes now. Like,
yeah.
We're all mad for saying no, especially when he was 300K, chugging along at a 75 average, and it's like, oh, he can't maintain. It's now around
15.
What's his average?
He's averaging...
It's got to be 70 odd.
He's averaging
80.8. Yeah, fuck. You know, like,
priced at 791 with a break even of 34.
Highly owned by anyone who knew what they were doing.
which is 36% of teams. So at least a fair amount of people had some idea.
So everyone else is not listening to us.
I mean, put it this way: last three rounds. It's the last three games he's played. He scored 97, 100, and then 114.
Yeah. Yeah. Devo. But that's Supercoach. Don't own him. That's standard. That's standard me for the year. I don't own the good ones.
You just watch him and go, yep, only if.
All right. Michael McLean. Mm-hmm. G'day, legends. Is it worth the trade to get sell V for Fedev or B, Willie Army, who have been in my team from the start as possible guys that might get a game but have ended up not playing? One option is trade Fainu from Manly. Is there another potential trade or cheaper option that plays 16 or just save the trade?
Did he say he had both?
Yeah. I don't know who's actually going to make any money at this point.
I don't think there's any real good cheapies that are coming through at this stage, really.
Not that it's shining enough to go, yeah, hey, get on this guy because he's going to make you $100,000. Maybe what we're just talking about with footy, if you can move him around, get on, what's his name? Cogger.
But even then,
he's
going to
be a slow burn, like for you. He's going to, but at least he's making something. Whereas Willie Army and V for Fida aren't making anything at all, ever. You might have to just cut your losses on them, man, and not worry about if
cause just use them as nuffs. Yeah,
unless you got a lot of trades, I think you're just going to have to use them as nuffs. Yeah, like Louis just said. There's not much tough. Else you can
just you can do. Hold out and hope that. Hope that, you know, some cheapie suddenly comes on as an option, but at the moment
there's old mate that come through up at Cowes the other day, but he's not going to get much game once Felt and everyone comes back. But yeah, I just for me, if you can, I wouldn't touch him, just leave him.
Yeah,
aim to play with whatever you've got already.
Improve the rest of your squad to a point where
Or if someone does come in 200k to finish the year, and don't just jump straight on whoever comes through at 200k. Get your sample size of 2-3 looks. Even sometimes you'll know after that first week, that first look, if they're potentially a good player.
If they're retaining that spot, yeah.
Yeah, so then you just jump on them first before anyone else, and at least you get at least a week. Out of them before everyone else gets on. But yeah, for me, I think you're just gonna have to cut your losses.
Yeah, that's a tough position to be in, but yeah, I'm afraid so.
Sean O'Verrett, to keep Fifi or not, gonna be useless for the team until round 21. Now I think there's a chance he might play 18, but that's one game until 21.
I think it depends on the position, on how good your second row's looking right now. You know, you said your second row's looking pretty good. Mine's looking pretty similar. Honestly, if I keep him there on the bench, it doesn't bother me. My second row's pretty solid as it is.
It's a big money, I think. I think everyone just sees the 800k and thinks, fuck, I could potentially bring in a second gun hooker or bring in that second gun for a third gun front rower now, you know what I mean? Like, we're at the point where we're bringing in thirds and fourths and fifths and stuff, you know? So
he does have, after that score of, what did he get? He got, 16 last week. He does have a break even of 149.
Which is achievable for him, but that's the shit thing. Like, he could easy get that. Like, he's done it before. He's got a buck 50. You know, and we haven't seen the best of him.
Well, I mean, there was four rounds in a row there where he got, 114, 110, 111, 116. Before that, 84, 82, 76, 96. You know, he has one game where he hits that score. His break even's shooting back down, and he's making cash again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just one.
Yeah.
I keep him. If you're not heavily stacked, but Sean, I think you can do better with his money.
Yeah.
You know, you could bring in your Batemans and shit this week that are going to be playing pretty much from now till 19. I think they have a bye in 17, Tigers, with the Dogs and the Sharks. But other than that, they play both of them shitty bye rounds of 16 and 19.
Mm.
And yeah, it's just, I like John Bateman. He's starting to really look
good. I listened to Brutto's advice. Thanks, Brutto, as always. Listened to Brutto last week when Jackson forward to John Bateman, cheering. And then went Croker to Karaz.
Not cheering.
Dude, was great until I was watching the... flicked on the Bulldogs game and went, hold on, where's Karaz? Looked at my Supercoach side. Ended up copying Murdoch Masilla's... as an AE, but
and Miss Jeremy Marshall King.
Going out as well. Yeah, I had a bad week last week.
Oh, rough week, man.
It was bad. Both I had both Gutho and Turbo as were fullbacks, so I had no fullbacks. Yeah, wasn't good. Juzzy's in the chat. Juzzy, how are you, mate?
Go to bed, mate. What are you doing? Past your bedtime, man.
Dogs seeking an exemption for Reed.
Yeah, I don't think he gets it. This is the precedent set from Origin the other night. We've let them get away off Turbo. They go and see different doctors and neurosurgeons and whatever and get a note. I don't think he should play. Look, don't get me wrong, from a club's perspective, whatever. If you want to play, play. But from a health perspective, I don't think the NRL's in a position to say, yeah, you just do what you want, because everyone will be doing it, man. But he was clearly affected.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, he sat down, he was there grabbing old mate's leg, looked fucking ginger as shit. Just the video. A doctor should just look at the video and say, oh, he looked a bit fucked. Whereas Turbo was sort of, he wasn't looking groggy and fucked. Like, he was just like, oh, what the fuck? Like, that hurt, you know? More so, whereas Reed Marnie's like...
You could see that there was... Yeah.
Fucking grabbing old mate's leg, you know? Like, he was... And then still stayed there for a bit, just trying to recompose himself. So, I don't think he gets exempt, and I think it's rude. But there was a time we used to have a doctor at the Dogs, man. He wouldn't even let him have needles, mate. I think it was Hugh Hazard.
Right.
At the time, he was an old fella. But there was none of that. You just had the week off.
Mm.
You know, have the
properly
week
recover.
Off because,
yeah.
Yeah, there's no point letting them do that. And then in comes sports science and let's fix them quick.
Ross Mann, how are you, mate?
Off the bench.
Not too late for Buller. Plenty to be made still, definitely, as we touched on before.
Looks a shit, too. Look,
yeah.
Looks good. Now, you know what, at the start of the year, I don't know if he could make the 30. I'm not sure if he was eligible or something, but they could have really... I remember hearing his name before a ball was kicked this year. Buller this and Buller that. I'll bet the Tigers are a bit spewing they didn't...
Put him in earlier.
Put a bit more faith in him, you know, a bit earlier. Because, fuck.
He's done well.
He has, man. He's looked the goods. He's looked the part. Yeah. He's looked like something they've needed for quite a bit.
A solid out-and-out fullback. Just, yeah.
Yeah.
Juzzy, once again, on the chat. I'm running Teddy Turbo. Who would you get rid of for Buller?
Neither, bro. I don't feel you. Oh. Look, Teddy you could get rid of. Turbo's got a low. I wouldn't get rid of either. Fuck Buller. You don't need him. You don't need him, to be honest. We've all seen Teddy the last couple of weeks now, by what they said about him in Origin, he's fucking done or whatever, but he had one bad fucking game, bro. Mm. It's his first ever bad game at Origin, and what, we sack the bloke, the captain? As much as I like Dylan Edwards and shit, he's not Teddy. Teddy's a weapon, mate.
Yeah.
I wouldn't sack Teddy and I wouldn't sack Turbo if I was you, Juzzy. I'd cut your loss on Buller and look elsewhere. For points and stuff, like not everyone has the Teddy Turbo combo. I've got Guffo, which I have contemplated, but as we've been talking tonight, I thought, nah, fuck it. With Bags going away, the points seem to then go to Moses and to Guffo.
Chiming in a bit
so
more.
I just feel it's going to be pointless. Like, granted, I could make 200k, but I don't really need it. I've got now, I've got Defi sitting there with 800,000. If I really need some money, I can sell him. Or I can sell Nafe, who's another 800,000. So, yeah, they're the options I've got. I'm lucky, but not everyone's got that option, I guess.
Well, I mean, with Teddy, he's with a break-even of negative 30, he's going to earn cash. Turbo, break-even of 3, he's going to earn cash, you know.
Yeah,
I wouldn't.
I just don't see a world where you're doing it, Jazz. So I know you probably lose both of them to Origin 2, and then what, you're picking Buller up another 100-something K deer. But these dudes are about to go 100-something K deer and cancel it out anyway. So unless you foresee Buller outscoring them in points for the next couple of weeks till Origin, do it. But I don't see the merit in doing it. Personally.
You got a question there?
Matty Drew. Brown to Ponga. Cleary to Moses. Brown to Ponga, I like Matty.
Cleary to Moses, I would hold.
I'd hold on. I'd go Cleary to SJ this week. And if I didn't have to do it this week, I'll wait next week to see Moses. It's the break even at 14 that fucking. You're crueling any money that you're sort of getting out of Nafe there by waiting the week.
But realistically, if you're doing that trade, are you doing it for that cash or are you doing it for those points? I think you're doing it for the points.
You're doing it for the points. Yeah. You'd be doing it for the points, but next week, if you go Cleary to Moses, it's sideways. Say it's going to be 800 for 800. Like, whereas this week, you can sort of pocket 100 grand or at least 80 grand and then use that. And then by the time you're cashing out Moses, hopefully before he goes on a decline, you made money out of
it. Well, as I said when we were speaking before the pod, I reckon that if Nico doesn't get the halfback spot, it'll probably be Adam Reynolds. I don't think Moses where to look in. I think Nico should get it. But yeah, if Nico doesn't end up getting it, I think they'll probably end up going with Adam Reynolds.
A-Ray, you reckon? So I think, just on what the way Freddie talks, like Freddie
does love his Moses. Years,
talked a lot of TPJ, fucking bang, TPJ's in there now. I feel he's Freddie knows if he loses his series, he probably doesn't have the gig anymore. So I can see him throwing his all his eggs in a weird basket. Moses would be it, you know. You could even see a weird combination of like Moses Hines at 5'8". Don't know what he's got. He probably doesn't know what he does yet, to be honest. Has to sit in the grass for a bit and smoke some bongs and fucking see where the fucking the night takes him, old Fred. But yeah. Then I got one more from Lloyd Clark. It's a holding week till we know more about Brown anyway. Beefy, the big question mark, with 2 weeks off, low minutes round 17, could see a massive cash drop for round 18. Look, I just think it's not about the cash drop, Lloyd, now. I think you especially, Lloyd, I've seen your fucking team. You don't need to worry about the cash drop too much. You're chugging along nicely in like 600.
Shout out to Lloydy. 600.
Yeah, Lloyd,
bloody hell.
He's been chuck every week for the last, every week I've seen Red, he's just been smashing greens out, just going, oh, look at this, whip this out, whip this out. But his missus has beaten him, so go, Mrs. Clark. it is a massive gamble, but unless you need to strengthen your side, like, which everyone, let's face it, you can always strengthen it somewhere, but is it necessary? Because come round 20, when you're about to play your finals in head-to-head, you got a defi when some people don't. And let's face it, he is career-best year for him. Next year, he's going to be fucking quite possibly $1 million back rower.
Yeah.
You know, which is fucking unreal. Like, how do you start with your teddies, your turbos, your nafes, your Heinzes, your Munsters, your fucking defeats.
Well, it's good.
Your Harry Grants, your paying asses.
Start of next season is going to be similar to the start of this season in terms of, you know, people trying to fit in both Nico and Cleary. Is that going to be another one to try to get.
And then there's like Harry Grant as well.
And then even now, Reece Walsh chiming in at fullback is now another good option that you could go, you know.
And yeah, depending on runs as well, like Guffo has his runs, and yeah, it's just, yeah, it's crazy. All right, we've finished Supercoach. If you want to ring, find Con on the WhatsApp. He has run a competition. It's run off its feet, as far as I know. It's going pretty well. But you have to get in contact with him to find out how to operate it. So,
Origin,
what a fucking disappointment, Louis. You watched it, obviously.
Yeah, I watched it.
I hate saying it. Do we even get Origin? Nah, fucking we do. But what a disappointment, man. Like, I'm with the critics on this one. What the fuck has Naif done to deserve his hold on the 7 jersey? Like, it's not a game breaker like Munster. Like, if you look at the periods in that time when Queensland were fucking having red hot cracks at us, Munster had the ball.
Yeah.
Munster kicked the ball, or Munster fucking passed the ball. And it's like, well, Naif was probably the first guy, and then he passed it to Yo, and Yo passed it to you, and it's like, well, you're not really doing the clutch.
I think one of the biggest issues that the New South Wales squad has is there was too many Panthers players, so they're playing too much like Penrith play, which is fine. I think I even said that last year. Which is fine at club level, you know, because if you look at their attack, a lot of it, you know, you grind the opposition, wear that opposition down, and that's then when they score a lot of their points. In an Origin arena, I mean, you saw they were putting pressure on Luai, Cleary, they were just shutting him down. They were not giving him space, and they could not play their game. Could not do it.
Difference between an Origin and a club level is they're shit players. At club level, like, not shit, like, the NRL standard, but they're not Origin
you're coming up. Origin, you've got the best players, in both teams. You're playing against a team of the best players of that state.
You look across the board, how many of them are cheap? They're all marquees of their club, you know, they're all guns of their clubs. Like, they're all people who command big money because they're such talents, you know, and that's the thing with club game. There's always that guy that's on 100 grand who's just there.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the difference. Like, and it's not that his fault that he's not X Factor or great. He does his job, man. And that's a lot of people in football. There's a lot of people who just do their job. You know? And that, in saying that, that's where you find your exploits as well. Mm. You know?
I honestly thought Tommy Turbo was a bit of a passenger in that game, to be completely honest. He didn't do much at all.
I don't think he trained.
He just did not look like he was in the game at all in that half.
The thing that holds his spot for me, like, I don't sack Tommy either. The thing that keeps him in the game for me is when Naif did kick it to him, he outlept everyone by a metre.
Mm.
You know, like, there was... Even though everyone else was trying to get the ball, Turbo was up, like, well above the pack. Which, if Naif gets his kicking game right, Turbo's sweet. Yeah. You know, like, he's... A lot of them times, them balls either went 10 metres this way or 10 metres that way or fell way short of where he was, and he was offside.
Mm.
You know, and I don't know if that comes down to they've only had the 10 days together for that first lot of camp or whatever, but... It just didn't look coherent.
Yeah.
And Turbo did look a bit out of place.
It wasn't clicking at all, was it? It just was not clicking.
No, I wouldn't mind even seeing him on the wing. I could see Turbo on the wing. Centre's a bit more of a defender. You know, he has a lot of crucial thinking to do at centre.
I think another big thing that let... they contributed to the New South Wales performance was Nico being 14. And realistically, if it wasn't for Teddy coming off with that head knock,
Turbo,
he's not playing. And that's a whole bench spot wasted. A whole bench spot wasted.
Agreed. I do agree. He wouldn't have even got... If he didn't get that head knock, I don't think Nico gets minutes.
Yeah. And that one extra bench spot... that's crucial. That could have given us the game, got us right back in the game, you know.
Well, Queensland show you, man. Australia, the Mau Meninga, and all of them, they've all coached it for years. Two hookers at that level's crucial.
I mean, you bring Damien Cook coming in the second half with a forward pack that, you know, was tiring a little bit with his speed and footwork. It could have opened the game up, you know.
Well, even if they want to look beyond Cook, like, not saying Cook's past it. Like, I think Cook well and truly would fit back in Origin any day. But if they wanted to look past Cook, you got
Brayley.
Young Robson or young Brayley, who...
I think he was picked in the extended squad, Jaden... Braden.
I think that was more of a thing for Nico, because that said it the other week on the podcast. Like, this is just my thinking. I wouldn't know how any actual footy coach is thinking, but while I've got all the forwards there, they're used to running, especially while it's Pervis heavy, used to running a certain way off Nave and off Arpy. Arpy's got a lot to do with Nave and the way he plays footy from the past few years at Penrith. Mm. Whereas when Nico come in, none of them have probably played with him. The Sharks setup would be so different.
It needed someone in there to give him.
It starts at hooker. Yeah. You know, it all starts hooker. So Brayley's there telling the forwards where they need to be for what Nico can do, you know. And it just would have been helping everyone having him there, I feel.
Right.
Not might not says it. I might be wrong. I might be way off the mark. This is just my thinking why he was there. And it didn't work because he didn't get a run anyway, but fucking yeah. Yeah, can we win the next one, Louis, in Queensland? Big ask, man.
Well, it's going to be a tough ask. I mean, I just saw a comment there. Shane Foote's already saying Queensland 3-0. look, it's going to be tough. I think it all hinges, when it comes down to it, all hinges on...
We need Queensland just to have a shit.
At the issue, is that Suncorp? That makes it even worse, you know. I think it all hinges on who they pick at halfback and whether Luai gets along well with him.
I don't think he can get picked with no...
Without Cleary.
Cleary. I just think it's... We've seen it with Penrith. If Nave's not there, Romy don't do fuck all.
Yeah.
Like, he's not that guy. He's an off-the-cuff sort of player. He's not a structure.
And, I mean, if... Even you've seen... Even without Kiko running off his hip, he's just not quite... Hasn't been that same, you know?
He's got at Origin level, he's got a weapon, don't use it.
Mm.
You know, don't use it the way he was using the Penrith weapon. But I just think that he sinks without Nave. And at Origin, can you afford to carry a bloke that's not really X-factor enough? Like, don't get me wrong, his last month of footy's been really good. Mm. But you want a bloke that's doing it all year, you know? Like, you want a genuine X-factor. He's not the genuine X-factor of the team. Genuine X-factor of that team's Nathan Cleary.
So, 4-5-8 next game, who are you talking about?
Oh, fuck. Don't know yet. I haven't even really thought about it deep for myself. Like, if you really wanted to go safe, I'd have Mitch Moses and Nico Hines.
I mean, that's a good option.
That'd be me 6 and 7. That's just me, but...
Mm.
There's no way we'll see that, I don't think.
Well, I mean...
I'd love for Jack White to throw his hat back in the arena. I'd love for him to say, yeah, guys, I'll come back and play 6 for you.
Mm.
Probably don't want to play centre. Or if he did come back and play centre, then I think you could have... Definitely have a Hines at 6 then, because then you got those extra kicking options, you know?
Yeah.
So, because Jack Wharton's not really much of a kicker. He's okay, but he's not great. And that's where we've been losing the battle for the last 2 years, is we've got one kicker on the footy field, and that's Nathan Cleary.
Yep.
Everyone knows
gets to that fifth tackle, you know, just shut down Cleary. Ball's not going anywhere else.
we had two dudes in the backyard talking about it, you know what I mean? Like, how are these people not talking about
yeah.
it? How are they not talking about it? There's no option out of hooker. Queensland's got Harry Grant, kicks 40-20s.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Hunt will kick 40-20s out of hooker. Cherry Evans kicks 40-20s. Kicks great. Actually, he's a great kicker of the football. Cameron Munster, great kicker of the football. Reece Walsh kicks the fucking football.
What would you...
They got fucking more options you can poke a stick at, bro. We have Nathan Cleary and kick football.
If Freddie decided to go a different route and get Burton in at 5'8", with his kicking.
Say again. I'd only have Burton. This only way Burton makes a side for me is if Trell's not right.
Mm.
He's not. He's a good 5'8". He's not a great 5'8".
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a good fighter.
But he does provide that kicking option where if we got him trapped in their half and he puts one of those spiralling bombs up.
Mitch Maz has got a big kick. Not as big as him, but it's still pretty big and nice kick, Mitch.
Mm.
But you're only losing 20 metres at the moment. Yeah. So for the class of ball runner and person setting up footy, I'd take Mitch Moses over a Burton. And then again, I'd take a Nico Hines over a Burton. If Burton was getting a run for me, he'd be getting a run at centre with the Fox.
Mm-hmm.
They showed their combo at Australia.
Yep.
And if we really got stuck, he got Burton and deep third man kicker. You know? Kick it from the 20 all the way down the other end. But for me, I want probably me two best thinking footy minds that I can get my hands on to win this game in Queensland. Like,
would you go Nico Walker?
Nah. Walker's getting, like, no offence to Cody Walker, but I've seen him get overwhelmed, overawed by Origin a couple of times now. Like, insane, that happened to Nico the other night. You know what I mean? But this has been our problem for a long time. We've had so many one-game players that they all going to get overawed that first game. It's such a big fucking spectacle event. Like, every single bar one, Caelan Pong is the only one that's ever come out and said, oh, it's just like a game of football. Obviously, HIA-affected. but, you know what I mean? Like, every other player's come out and just said, it's so fast. You don't know when's your time. You've got this great player here yelling for the ball, but this great player there yelling
before
for the
ball, game,
when's your time?
Before the game, you're probably feeling the nerves a lot more than you are, because it's something that, as a kid going up through the ranks, you've been wanting to get to.
Just, and then fucking bang, the roar of it, bro. You been to Origin?
No, I haven't been to one.
Don't get fucked, man. Like, it's deafening and raw, man. Mm. Like, I've done a few Origins now, and go get fucked. Like, the fucking... bro, and everyone runs out, or when you win the game, special, man. Like, 70,000, 80,000 people going shit hot. Like, it's awesome, bro.
Also, on a side note, can we stop having Origin games on cricket fields?
look, that's getting, you know what, while they're trying to grow the game, they got nothing else but AFL and cricket pitches down there. They're all them big, wide open grounds, till they solidify the sport in the state, they won't build a footy ground.
Yeah.
Like, soccer ground maybe, but I don't think they're the same dimensions. Width, lengthwise. So I think you lose a little bit, and I'm not too sure how it works, but yeah, unless they just, NRL goes, fuck it, we're going to take games there all the time, build one.
Mm.
But is it worth it? Get 10,000 there every fucking 3 years. So do we just spend $1 million on these?
Well, I mean, such a cricket and AFL dominant area such as Adelaide. Yeah.
Origin sold out. I think Origin ended up selling out there.
I think you got 48,000 or something like that.
To the 50,000. 54,
55, I think it was getting up to.
Nearly. Which is pretty good for an AFL and cricket-dominated state. Mm. But, yeah, now we go to Queensland, where there's fucking four New South Welshmen in the crowd. Blatchy's Blues, which gets, 100. And then the rest is fucking There won't be a spare seat. With their second heads and shit dragging around in there and shit, you know what I mean? They get a few heads in. But, yeah. I don't know. It's a big fucking ask. I wouldn't like to be in their position. They never looked in it for me, that whole Origin, bro. Like, never looked in it.
They just didn't look like they wanted to win, to be honest.
Nah, Queensland did. Yeah. When they went down to 12 men, they fucking pumped up even harder. It's like, fuck off. You know how hard it is to watch as a New South Welshman to watch these fuckers start banding together with 12 to go? Fuck off. Eat a dick, Queensland.
Yeah, it's... let's just hope we don't get a repeat. Let's hope we don't get a repeat of last game. They show a bit more effort, a bit more passion, really. But
look, I don't think anyone needs to be sacked. Like, they're all going on about sack this guy, did nothing. Tevita Pengai, same thing. First ever Origin game. First 20-minute stint was really good. Mm. Come on, threw shit off low, giveaway penalties, cost try, got hooked 9 minutes later. I think he would have learned a lot from that. It's your first one, like, same thing. Like, he would have been overawed.
The adrenaline's
like,
pumping through. It's,
you know, there would have been the expectation of him to get him on the front foot, like, as well. Like, that's why he got hired, so to speak. That's what his job was, you know. Hudson Young, another one, done really good while she was on the field. Wouldn't sack him either. I think the only reason we have to make changes is due to injury, and I think Trell should come straight back in. Crichton probably drops out. That's whatever. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think the halves, I think just on Freddie's own, we need combinations, even though they're not club combinations. I think Moses and Nico could work. That's just what I think. I wouldn't really go any other way, personally.
And as you said, it gives us another kicking option as well.
Yeah. You got the Daly M Player of the Year, Mitch Moses.
Nico deserves
really good
there,
footy. And you could probably even replace Nico on the bench with Cook. That gives us that second hooking option, which wouldn't go to waste.
Mm.
Not that Arpy looked fucked or anything like that, but I think the second option's good, changes everything up. Like, while everyone's been watching Arpy play for the last fucking 30 minutes, and then bang on comes Cook, and he does it so different.
Yeah.
So then your defence is like, fuck, we got to rejig here, because it's not the same.
Well, Jared Watson, he's commented saying to bring Origin to Newcastle. And back at Townsville, and then rotate between regional New South Wales and Queensland each year.
As a third game, yeah, I'll cop that. That could be all right. But they're in the process of trying to get the growth. Like, I can see the next one going to, like, WA.
Oh, was it WA last year? Wasn't it WA last year?
One in,
I think it was.
Darwin.
Oh, I don't think they'll do Darwin.
Nah. Too shit. Like, the grounds, I mean.
What's the largest capacity at the largest stadium up there? It wouldn't be a lot. For an Origin game, you need something that they can sit 50-odd thousand.
Yeah, that's true.
Townsville's good. It looks stadium, a good stadium.
But, yeah, the same thing. What's McDonald Jones, 26,000 capacity? It'd be close to that. Wouldn't it be 40,000 stadium, you know? Which, that's what they're looking for Origin. They want bums on seats at top dollar for tickets.
Mm.
And yeah, that's the thing with the suburban
33,000 Newcastle, McDonald Jones, 33.
You could maybe get, like, extra chairs in there and get it up to 40.
Mm.
There'd be a way. But yeah, it'd come down to bums on seats. That's what, like, the people in Newcastle show it every week with their footy team.
Yeah.
They fucking turn up, man. I have no
doubt.
It's
a footy mad area. It really is.
A game in Newcastle would be sold out in 10 fucking minutes at Ticketek.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, I don't know if they'll ever do it, boys. It'd be good if they did.
It's a good idea, definitely.
It is a good idea.
Yeah. Any last shout-outs?
Why not? Let's give one to supercoachchampion.com. If you are in a league and you are looking for a prize, talk to your people. They'll chuck in a few bucks each and you can walk away with a pretty pimping ring. Reg wears it. He loves it. But yeah, supercoachchampion.com, that's where you get one of them. Take your legs out the hub. They've been doing some good stuff over there at the hub. I think Physio and Nat Sinclair put one out yesterday. Still haven't got to it, but get over there, pool man. Good on you, mate. Champion. And thanks, Louis, for coming.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
And
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.